Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Listen, I appreciate you all staying up late tonight for our show. I know you all know I've been traveling, so our schedule is a little bit inverted. And there's my brother passing right by in the background. Anyway, no, it's great. I'm at my brother's house. And out of Nevada. And I really want to thank you guys because I know it is late and it's not our normal schedule. Also, I ended up changing the schedule. It's kind of funny. I've been in four different time zones and I put in 10 o'clock, meaning for East Coast, but because I'm in Central Time right now, 9 o'clock was the appropriate time. So I adjusted that. So I don't know if that notification got out to y'all, but I apologize for changing that on the fly. I'm trying not to keep anybody up past the 10 o'clock start mark. I initially really wanted to do this show very specifically about blood. And I know I've talked a lot about blood with Mac and so on. But I tell you what I want to do. I'm going to have, there's a couple more experts I want on. And I've been working on it behind the scenes, an actual blood spatter expert. No one I've heard from in the media is a blood spatter expert. That's the whole, for instance, when I had somebody come on to talk about the ballistics concerning Charlie Kirk, that is an actual full-on expert that does that sort of analysis in terms of ballistics and firing and related specifically to after a gun is fired and matching up different things like casings as well as projectiles to the markings or that a particular gun would leave. So that's the kind of situation we have here. Again, even a blood spatter expert is not going to be able to look at this under a microscope, obviously. But since I have those two amazing pictures that are so crystal clear, I want to definitely get that to them and just verify what I believe to be true, and that is that's expirated blood. But I want to have an actual expert on and talk about a couple other things with them as well. So that's in the works. You know, we are going to have the Bitcoin expert on Tuesday morning. I'll get the exact time out, but that'll be a nice early show for everyone. And then, of course, I also want to have on a cardiologist that particularly is very knowledgeable regarding pacemakers. I've seen a lot of people on air that have pacemakers, but I want an actual cardiologist on to really go in depth, one that's working. I love to get people that are actually doing the job or recently doing the job, not just studying or you know, have one. I mean, I'd rather get somebody on that is a cardiologist and that daily is involved in the latest technology regarding pacemakers. So those are kind of some things I'm working on regarding at least the Nancy Guthrie case. So anyway, I was going to do a show on that, but then I also was inspired by another case that I was studying. And so I talked a lot today with Tony from the airport. For those of you who watch the show, Hidden Killers, with Robin Drake, too, another FBI agent who was on the foreign counterintelligence and counterterrorism side of the house in the FBI. And we worked at very similar time frames. I just love Robin. Like when we're off air, you should hear us. It's like, I don't know. You know, old classmates talking from grade school or something. We get together and we have such a great time. But nevertheless, I talked a lot about, because they had never heard of these, of the wrench type attacks. So we talked about that. And again, I think that that is a strong possibility, a wrench attack, meaning not that you go in, which is what it's named for, and you beat somebody with a wrench to get the passcode out. I don't believe, or I don't know for sure. We don't know if Nancy Guthrie had cryptocurrency. We just don't know. We don't know if Savannah had cryptocurrency. We don't know that. But this would be a scenario where they would have gone in, like the scenario I posed a couple of days ago on a live, not a scenario, it was a real life case where somebody who had cryptocurrency, their father was kidnapped and actually tortured in an Airbnb, their finger cut off. So these things happen. I talked about over $183 million in cryptocurrency paid in ransom in 2024. Currently, I know we're up over, I think it was, gosh, so sorry, guys. I don't want to throw out a figure. Oh, not 183. I think it was 813. Sorry, 813 million in cryptocurrency was paid in ransoms in 2024. 1.2 billion in 2023. So it went down already. But if you look at 2025, it was in the 800 millions as well. So this is something that happens all the time. And I talked about this would be a scenario where they would want to take her and then get the passcode, get her to get a hold of Savannah for the passcode. That is something I think is very possible. And I base that on the sophistication of the letters. But obviously, it seems to me that something tragic happened. And so unfortunately, she is likely not with us. And they were not able to have the full plot lay out. So that's one scenario. And then you just keep sending out, because that's what these kidnappers that are seeking cryptocurrency do. They just keep sending and keep sending, hoping that somebody breaks. And again, unusual, because these letters went to the media, right? So that's unusual. And I'm still, that's a whole nother thing I'm researching. So going to circle back on that piece of it. But the other possibility, we talked about two cases yesterday, right? We talked about one case, an 80-year-old, that it was her grandson that tragically, actually, I think it was great-grandson, I'm so sorry, that tragically was involved with two other kids. They were teens and, you know, took her and put her in a trunk. Horrible, but she lived. She ended up getting out and saving herself. So we talked about that, the fact that, and a lot of the experts, right, or I should say the profiling experts want to say it's somebody very close to the family. And that's why I brought up that particular case, because that particular case makes that very point. Somebody really close to the family that would want, and again, the motive in that one was strictly about money. And of course, then the other one that we talked about, in that case, it was somebody that was affiliated through work, right? Knew the person that they abducted. This was our show yesterday, and knew that person. And again, it was all about money. So we have somebody familial, somebody who knows the situation closely, but isn't part of the family. And then we have somebody who would be an orchestrator pulling the strings on porch guy to do a wrench type attack. So there's that. But I want to talk about this next case, because this is, wait until you hear all the similarities. And then we're going to talk about some things that aren't similar. And then this would be the fourth possibility, if you will. The fourth possibility. So let's take a look. So I'm going to talk about the case of Annie Lauren Heron. This case occurred in 1988, and her husband was extremely wealthy. In fact, they say he was one of the richest people in Mississippi, and she was a socialite in Mississippi. And we've slightly touched on this, not done a full show on it. We're going to do a full show tonight, because this is so very interesting. She was 72 years old. She listened to this, listened to her health issues. She had health issues, and specifically it was reported she was frail and she needed daily medicine, daily medications to sort of carry on. So I know a lot of people say, well, why would you ever kidnap somebody you know is likely going to die because of their health issues? It happens. We've been going through 80 plus year olds. This woman was 72. That's still pretty old. And depending on how you're doing physically, and she wasn't doing that great physically. So anyway, what's interesting about this is when she was reported missing and everything, the same situation, blood, there were blood, her blood droplets that gave indication to law enforcement that, of course, this was an issue. The other thing was, and this was more dramatic, is that there was a ransom note left. Now, what I find interesting about ransom notes, of course, in 1988, there's no cryptocurrency. In 1988, there's no cell phones that people are using. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no Bluetooth pacemakers that are communicating with your cell phone because there's no cell phone, right? So there's a lot of things that aren't similar just because of the technological differences. So in this case, which is what we always used to see, is a ransom note was left at the location. And what was very interesting about this note is that it had all these spelling and grammar type errors. So it was something that did not, like in the Nancy Guthrie case, everybody believes strongly that these notes are from somebody very well educated. I'm not convinced that it isn't about being very well educated as it might have been AI used to write these ransom notes. And the reason I say that is I really do feel like the mastermind is very smart with those letters that have been directly connected to Nancy Guthrie's abductors, right? Connected through Savannah saying it and connected through law enforcement and their actions and speaking about the specificity in the notes that leads them to believe that they were written by the abductor. Again, I think everyone can concur, I think, that the chances of them getting any money without proof of life was pretty much zilch. They never sent that. And I think they didn't send it because they didn't have it. And again, as far as Nancy Guthrie, they didn't send proof of death either. And so when you look at all of that, you look at the fact they didn't have anything to wheel and deal with. So again, back to my point, why send the notes? The only reason you do that is to further traumatize the family. And then in addition, I think to that is also in hopes that someone will tickle the wire. And so then you're playing a cat and mouse game. If you do some sort of significant Bitcoin payment, is law enforcement just so unsure of their capabilities of tracing it? And it would be extremely hard to trace. But we've talked about it a lot. At least you'd have that breadcrumb. I think they must be very discouraged because they haven't been able to trace those six communications that came into the media. And they have not been able to trace whoever opened that Bitcoin account. So you add that all up and literally it seems that they might have lost some belief that they could trace anything, even if it was put in there. And then, of course, we all talk about you don't want to give people any cause to do an abduction by paying. But as I've talked about, it happens all the time. But let's continue to talk about this case because so many instances where a lot is similar. Drops of blood, a ransom note, which by the way, the ransom note was left at the property. So when you went there, you see the ransom note. And in addition, you see the blood droplets. That's not that far out of Nancy Guthrie. I think it's clear that the ransom notes that were sent to the media two of them were sent the day after. So it wasn't as if they weren't sent. It wasn't as if, and I'm definitely going to get to your question, is that Goldie? Golden. It wasn't as if they were sent days later. I think that was very confusing a little bit at first because TMZ had it on day three, which left people to say, okay, come on, this is day three. But really, it was the day after everyone. It was the day after. Let me get to these two things really quick because I want to be very conscientious of our audience here and how much I appreciate y'all. Why didn't law enforcement know right away with the back doors propped open and blood on the steps? Didn't the family say something was wrong? Also seems front door guy was staged. What do you think? All right. So great questions. First of all, let me hit them one by one. And Golden, I just saw you became a member. Thank you so much. That means a lot. That's the means the most of anything is when people become part of our family, our true crime family here. All right. Exactly. I agree with you. And I've talked about it a lot when you have gone back a lot to what was said by Nanos and what was reported and how all of that changed in terms of search and rescue. That was the verbiage that he used, you know, search and rescue, search and rescue. And I just think it was, we can call it whatever you want, a syntax issue, another communication issue, but this obviously wasn't a search and rescue. What it really was a search. And in my opinion, you should never stop searching in this situation, especially because you had volunteers that were willing to carry on the search. And it's the Sahara Desert. So, you know, that's right there in close proximity, a perfect place to leave somebody. So when you look at all of that, initially they called it a search and rescue, but he did send out homicide detectives. He did say he was concerned. The family definitely remember there was a source that came out that said his source, right, said that the family said that they thought it could be a walkaway. And then we found out all that information was bad. And then they walked it back and said, well, actually, I just misunderstood my source, which talked about on day one about the telephone game with sources. You just have to be so careful and look with your own eyes. See what you see, see what the family has done. Look at porch guy, see what is said for the most part by law enforcement. We have a lot out there from law enforcement. The problem is it's conflicting in a lot of regards, but there's still a lot to glean from it, I believe. But nevertheless, I think law enforcement knew. Remember, they pulled everybody out. They pulled everybody off. Oh my gosh, I'll put this up too, Immortal Sergeant. They pulled everybody off from that search and rescue within about 24 hours, under 48 hours. They said, we're not searching anymore. We're readjusting our resources to have a intelligence-based, in other words, based on the facts that they know, that kind of a search. The reason I'm just letting you know how I think, and I do it based on cases. You can't do that in a case like this. You have to keep searching. You have to keep the crime scene secured. And you have to keep searching because particularly that desert and a lot of people, if something had happened to her, would not want that body for a long period of time. And I always said this, unless law enforcement knew that they took her across the border or took her somewhere else, unless they knew what happened, it doesn't make any sense to pull your search folks. Let's see. Also seems to, okay. I have to tell you with this whole stage thing, I don't believe that, and believe me, Gary Brocato, I love him. We have so many backdoor conversations often. We were just going back and forth 2 days ago about a lot of this and, you know, we agree to disagree. I don't think this is staged. I think this is a mope. I think it's a mope. And that's why, geez, I tell you, well, we're going to talk about this scenario. And then you're going to see the two possibilities in my mind. But the first possibility that we've been considering is the wrench type style attack. I'm going to be crystal clear on this. I don't think the family is involved. I don't. I've been very crystal clear. I've done a lot of shows individually about the family members, what they're all about, explaining, you know, talking about, I don't believe they have motive, showing that they were cleared. So that's my stance. And I know a lot of other YouTube channels, multiple. In fact, I feel like I'm on an island by myself. I have to be honest. I really do. I feel like I'm out here floating. And if it breaks that, you know, one of the close family members involved, then I'll just say mea culpa. From what I saw, they're not involved. And I could be wrong. Again, sadly, on this side of the curtain, we get to see about 5% of what law enforcement knows. I am very leery of sources. And if there's anything I do know from any sources, I don't talk about it. That's just my personal philosophy, that I'm not going to say, oh, a source told me this. So I'm going to stage things particularly based on the facts that all of us can see. So that's just my rules there. All right. So I really don't think that that was staged. I think that that is a mope. Now then, I want to thank you again, Golden Hen. I guarantee there's something that Golden Hen, that means something. And I love your hair. I wish I could do my hair more like that more often. That's actually how I do it when I play tennis. You guys have seen me and then I put the visor on. All right. But I want to thank this other person too so much for becoming a member. It was Sergeant up here. I'm so sorry. I just want to make sure to give them some notification here. Immortal Sergeant, thank you so much. I appreciate you becoming a member of our channel. So I want to talk about this case because this is so interesting. So again, Robert Heron was the husband, one of the richest guys back in 1988. And this ransom note, I want to put this up too. I want to thank Marianne so much for being a member since really we began. We started out really slow. I'm just going to tell everybody I maybe was doing one show a month. I tried to do one a week very early on for about 8 weeks. And then after that, we're down to one a month. But we've got a great team put together. This case has really inspired me to really dial down and every day be here to communicate with everybody. And so I'm really excited about the channel and what it holds and the good group of folks we have here. So thank you, Marianne, for your loyalty. So this is what's interesting about this. Again, the medication that was needed, which parallels Nancy's issues, frail, which parallels Nancy. Remember, she could walk 50 yards, you know, to the mailbox some days. This note, and I'm going to get back to it, with all these grammar issues. So it's sort of the juxtaposition, right? We have one note during this case that actually had bad grammar and didn't look like somebody very smart wrote it. And then just take the polar opposite of that, right? How TMZ folks describe these notes. And that is that it's somebody very intelligent, which again, I think it's going to be AI. We'll see how it all ferrets out, or at least part of it. Because if I'm behind this, and I'm sophisticated, I want AI to do it so it doesn't have my idiosyncrasies. Oh my gosh, I can't say that word tonight. Of that you could tell. For instance, I do things like I always write dot 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 when I have so much more to say, but I'm trying to keep things brief. For instance, when I do a post, right? And there's just a lot of things when people write that you could see a consistency in their manner of writing. And that gets people in trouble. I talked about, and I know some disagree with me, I will never get off the hill that Patsy Ramsey wrote that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
No, I will never get off that hill. And nevertheless, you don't want that to happen, what happened to Patsy Ramsey. All her idiosyncrasies coming off in that note and how she refers to him and changes over to John and how she wrote and all of these things that made it clear that that was Patsy Ramsey. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that they're opposites, and we're going to talk way more about that when it comes to the profilers involved in both of these cases. In this case, the FBI got involved very late, everyone. They did not get involved timely right away. There were local, there were state. It was a very late involvement from the FBI. In this case, we know it was 4 days. 4 days where they really sunk their teeth into it and got involved, right? So very interesting about that. So in any event, moving on here, the other things that are interesting are the fact that, this was one of the neatest or most things that really caught me is in this case, did you know they ordered media silence, basically a media block for 24 hours? In other words, media couldn't discuss this case. How interesting is that? It's something that's rare, but they did that in hopes that, you know, leaks wouldn't get out and nothing would get out, and they would have 24 hours for sort of law enforcement to breathe and see if they could quickly find her, right? Because they knew, just like in Nancy Guthrie's case, because of all the health issues, that time was of the essence. So I thought that that was so interesting, something that would never happen in this day and age, even if they, it would never happen for all the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and of course my favorite, News Nation, for everybody to agree, hey, listen, we're not talking about Nancy Guthrie. Can you imagine? And then you'd have one go rogue. Oh, good. I'm going to be the first to talk about it and to have everybody following them. And then not to mention the fact now there's social media. So no matter what mainstream media does, social media is touching so many more people, right? That's just the reality of where media is going. So anyway, I thought that was really interesting that they were so concerned about the case and getting her back that they did that. So I thought that was very interesting. It was just a day. They called it a blackout. So what does Robert, her husband, do when he gets these notes? The polar opposite of what happened in Nancy Guthrie's case. So in this case, the ransom note writer wants checks sent, wants money sent, checks sent to 12 different companies. So what a huge clue to the FBI, or I should say the FBI did get involved late and it did become the FBI's case. But what a huge clue when you have 12 companies mentioned, because you can say to yourself, seems like they might have a motive. Right? Like one of those 12 might be mentioned because they're getting the money. And you know what he did? He paid. He paid over $1 million, which in today's money is about $287 million with inflation. He paid. And he paid right away. No proof of life, nothing. He paid it. 100+ thousand to each one. I thought that was very interesting that he didn't care about proof of life and paid. I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. I'm just trying to juxtapose these two cases and how they were handled. And we're going to hear how it turned out. All right. So let me see. Oh, I want to talk about the profiler, if you will. So the person who actually handled the profiling, if you will, was Dr. Rodrigo Galvez, a forensic psychologist. And he said, so he analyzed the note, which I guarantee, obviously, our behavioral science unit is, or behavioral analysis unit with the FBI did the same thing, right? We know that because we saw the verbiage and them reading and so on. So back in 1988, they did the same thing and they hired somebody to analyze. And what Dr. Galvez said was, listen, this note, this is fake dumbness. This is purposeful. He's misspelling things. His grammar's off. This is definitely a ruse to be seen as unintelligent. But he said that the person behind that note writing is actually very intelligent. And investigators use that. They use that to when they're considering who this might be. I've talked about three personal cases that I had where I specifically just did not have. I needed help with the analysis of notes to try to figure out if I was sniffing up the right tree. And I think I shared with you in all three cases, the BAU was dead on with who I was looking for, even though I didn't think it was going to be that necessarily. And then they were dead on. And so I wondered if we're seeing the opposite here, you know? In other words, the same situation where you have somebody disguising what they're really like. This only fits this situation if the set of facts are similar in terms of motive to what happened in this case. So that's what we're going to go through. In other words, not a wrench style case, which would be sophistication. They know to use AI. They knew how to write six letters without being traced. And I'll say it again, those other letters, how can anyone say that they are not related? The other ones that were sent to TMZ and the media, how can any, you know, asking for half a Bitcoin now and half a Bitcoin later to get information. And then the minute Savannah Guthrie returned to the Today Show, bam. What do you want to make a bet? We'll see. When she returns to Wordle, or not returns, when she comes to Wordle, and I don't know when that date is. If anybody knows, if there's Mod or anybody else listening, let me know what you think. Let me know when Wordle is supposed to start. Because I think that will be interesting to see if another set of notes come out. In other words, where we're leaning toward a motivation that is much like this case and would not be a wrench case. So again, the three we've explored, wrench case, sophisticated, about money. You didn't give us our money, you piece of crap. We're going to keep coming at you. Wrench. The other motive, a family member, money motivated, don't care about her. Okay, that was the second scenario that we discussed yesterday. And then the third scenario is somebody that knew their victim, their 80-year-old victim, loosely knew them. And again, wanted money. In that case, I believe they wanted $1 million. And the plot ended up being foiled. But again, that was somebody with a connection, but a loose connection, a worker, right? I want to thank Ellie Myers. Thank you so much. Ooh, like the hat and the hair. So we've explored, but now we're on number four, and that's this case. And so when we're thinking about this case, and we're going to get into who it was and what their motivation was, because it's very interesting, and it's something that particularly Mac has talked a lot about. So wouldn't it be something if Porch Guy, who to me is a mope, but let's just say it's Porch Guy, like what Mac thinks, the sole person who did it. That's going to be the parallel to this case. Okay, that's the parallel. So again, Dr. Galvez says, listen, these notes are baloney. These notes are the opposite of what this perpetrator is. So if we invert that here with Porch Guy. Porch Guy, yeah, I'm not the brightest guy. I'm going to have AI do these notes and send them out. Again, there are many cases where people pay, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, without proof of life, because their loved ones are in shambles. You know, they're in shambles. And again, I told you on this case, the Bureau got involved even later. So they probably didn't have the Bureau to put the brakes on that. They might have. I don't know what role they had in all that money that was paid. Again, over $1 million. So then another note goes out. And this note is purportedly from the victim. And there were some very interesting things. One of the things was that they said, you know, you need to pay, I'm paraphrasing, or they're going to seal me in a cellar of a house with only jugs of water, paraphrasing. And then also, please save me. You know, it had to be just heart-wrenching. That one was mailed. He had an accomplice, the person who did this. He had an accomplice. And the accomplice was a female. There was somebody who knew about it. He was a girlfriend. And then his paralegal, she took a deal and testified against him. And you're going to be really upset when you hear what he got, what his motive was. So he got people to conspire to cover up the motive, right? Because this is the thing. Remember when I talked about the 12 people that the ransom note said needed to be paid? That's where law enforcement doesn't have the leg up here. I mean, this guy made a lot of mistakes, right? Because guess what he did? He was one of the 12. And interestingly enough, he paid the money back, his 100,000 share. I thought that was interesting. I guarantee that that's one of the cases that the BAU studied behaviorally that they're trying to get with Porch Guy, right? Maybe some sense of right and wrong or something like that. And this guy was one of the 12. And what happened was her husband had been involved in putting companies in, I mean, not on purpose, but School Pictures Inc. was this company. And anyway, it caused great financial harm, not meaning to necessarily, it was business, to several people, including the perpetrator of this crime. He was scorned. He was angry. He was hateful. And he blamed her husband. And he wanted retribution. He wanted someone to pay. And that someone was his wife, was the love of his life. You know, Annie was going to pay. So this is also what's really interesting, is the kidnapping scenario. Again, there's no Nest cameras to give any clues. But he was the sole person convicted of this crime. He actually had rented a van, or not rent, purchased a van. And that van was the big clue, another big clue that helped lead to him early on. So the two biggest clues they had were this ransom note that was seen by BAU, or not by BAU, sorry, by the doctor that they had involved with this, the forensic psychologist, Dr. Rodrigo Galvez. This was very interesting. Let me put this up. This is very interesting because they essentially had that and they rolled with that. So in their mindset, law enforcement is saying, okay, we're not looking for somebody who isn't educated. We're looking for the opposite. And again, that was because of the profilers that read this ransom note. The other thing they had was a white van that a neighbor, isn't this interesting, right? Parallels the Nancy case, a white van that was seen in the neighborhood. And sure enough, they found out that the perpetrator had purchased a white van who ended up being, so now they've got this list of 12, they've interviewed everybody. And there were a lot of holes in his story. Again, this isn't somebody who was a career criminal, somebody who was knowledgeable on how to commit crimes, had what I call time behind the tiller for those sailors out here. They did not have the requisite reps to get away with a crime, so they make a lot of mistakes. And this guy, I'll give you his name, the person who actually did it was Newton Wynn. W-I-N-N. And again, my point is, and this is to the point of, this is to the point of Cheryl Mack McKellum. She thinks Porch Guy's the only guy. She believes that this is a retribution, and it could be anything, you know. In that, this case, remember that this abductor didn't have any issue with Annie, none. His issue was with Robert and feeling wrong and slighted and having this huge financial burden and wrong that he felt that Robert had done to him and making him pay. That's what this case was about. And that's what Cheryl Mack McKellum thinks. And I tell you, I was so on board. We were both like this when we talk about it. We're like, that's got to be it. That's got to be it. The thing that got me, though, pretty early on was that walkie-talkie in the pocket. Now, some think it could be a scanner. It's not a jammer. Some people believe it could be a scanner. You know, in other words, a radio scanner. It just doesn't look like that to me, guys. Was anybody else at the house? Unless they were dressed alike, unless, you know, and that happens. I brought up early on three cases or more, and maybe that we'll do a show on it again because I kind of touched on it, but we'll do a whole show on it. It'd be good to do a show on just that, I think, and just point out cases where that occurred. So nevertheless, Mr. Wynn, he ends up getting convicted, and the evidence is overwhelming. His conspirator gets immunity, female, and so she comes forward and talks about the ransom letter, and I mean, lays it all out, kind of the scheme. So it was pretty overwhelming. Again, he sent one of the checks back, I think, to make himself look like he, you know, oh, I don't even want the money. It was overwhelming. He was convicted. And you, this is what's going to kill you. He only got 19 years and he only served 16 years. And that's, this is why this is a travesty of justice, in my opinion. They have never found her. So you know she's dead. He never said where she went. Gosh, travesty. I mean, look, a golden hen. What if the perp was alone doing this?
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And was purely about obsession with Savannah. Nancy dies, not expecting it. And the perpetrator needs to get rid of Nancy. Money never mattered. Exactly. That is this scenario, right? First three are all about money just by different people. Organized money, relative money, handyman money, or worker money, seeking that. And this one, this case, even though the genesis of his hate is money, the motive is retribution. Retribution for this, the financial losses this guy had. And again, he was extremely educated. He was an attorney. He, just like the profiler said, the note was opposite of who the profiler was. Could we be looking at something like that? The mope doing all of this, that's Cheryl McCollum's. Cheryl McCollum thinks he's doing it all. Well, she thinks the notes aren't even really connected. I have a problem with that because Savannah thinks they're connected and there was enough belief by law enforcement that they put five dog and ponies, that's what we call it, dog and pony shows up, BAU involved, and they believe those notes were connected to the abductor. And that's a big, if those notes aren't part of this case, that not sent by the abductor, if that's a fact, that skews everything here, right? It really skews any of our premises. In other words, hypotheses. But I think they are. And they said that not much had changed since the beginning in terms of the motive. That's what Nano said when they asked him the motive. Well, the motive's been the same from the beginning, words to that effect in an interview. I've pulled that up before. This is a ransom, everyone, and it's a ransom gone bad. But what was the motive? In other words, just like in this case, his motive was retribution, but part of that retribution was sucking $1 million, which, like I said, back in 1988 was more like 3 million now, 2.87, I think, to be exact, sucking them dry. When you want retribution, you want them to lose their love. You want them to lose their money. You want them to lose their stature in the community. And that's why I find this really interesting that I think for famous people, how they're seen is very, very important to them. You know, their reputation. First of all, I think a lot of people, their reputation is important to them, but it's a whole new level. And I had wondered if that's why he paid over $1 million. He didn't get to see his wife. No pictures were sent. Is that why? And I truly believe it was because he loved his wife and he was wanted to do anything he could. He bet the come. He's basically like, listen, I can't live with myself if I don't pay. Now, you see the outcome is probably going to be the exact same as Nancy's. but he paid because he, in my opinion, did not want to risk never seeing his wife again and the guilt that would have set in if he hadn't at least tried. You know, it's kind of one of those things, if you don't at least try. Especially, this guy was one of the richest men in Mississippi, right? So when you have money, I mean, you know, I always say, it's like, listen, if it's you or me, and they say, we've got your mom, or we've got your wife, I need you to send $500. You don't even think twice, right? Everyone in chat, everyone here in our community probably could come up pretty easily with $500. And I always say that, you know, that's why I say tickling the wire. I mean, $100,000. See if you could figure out the trace. Hire the Bitcoin guy that came on our show. See what can be done. He says it leaves breadcrumbs. How I equate it is, back in the day, getting money, having money that you give for a ransom or an extortion. I did the undercover in one. I was an extortion. And having to trace that money, right? Because you knew the serial numbers. And then you're literally trying to trace it to XYZ, you know, where it was spent. It's not easy. And that, but would that open up a trail? This is just my opinion. Look, I'm not getting any judgment. I'm just saying I would probably want to try to move for something like that if it were my case. But again, maybe they're not that desperate yet. You know, they've got the hair. They likely have much more DNA. I just can't imagine that they don't with the bite light, although they didn't take the greenery. Remember, they didn't even take the cameras up on the roof. It took them days to figure that out. Gosh, sorry. Listen, I don't like to armchair quarterback because I didn't like being armchair quarterback. But I'm just pointing out, I think, pretty obvious things that were not done well. Yeah, it's so true, WV. The notes, I mean, what they were working with back then, just like we talked about how these other two cases were solved, right, that we talked about yesterday. One case was solved in large part through video surveillance. And then, of course, the witness lived, right? She got herself out of the trunk. In the other case we talked about, again, a note left, and their fingerprint was on it. And they had been in, as I recall, in a database. So, you know, those are going to be great clues. It's tougher. It's tougher with this case. It's tougher. Is this AJ? Hi, AJW. I like it. W. We don't know what the true initials are, but it's AJW. Welcome to the channel. Thank you so much for becoming a member. I really appreciate it. So anyway, I've given you four very distinct motives and how they would be related to Nancy. And that's just so far. Wrench, meaning a more sophisticated group, putting together the whole package, getting a mope to go in there, kidnapper, mope screws up, Nancy passes away, and now they have no chance at it. But they're going to send it anyway, just to say, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, ha, we got her. See all this? We were there. Send some money. Or else. No money was sent by the OLs, or else. Second again is family for money. We went through that case. Third an associate, a worker, money, motive, and then this sheer downright retribution over a money problem. And then they want to fleece you of everything. I want to say this, and this is really, I found this fascinating, that Lawyer Wynn, did you know law enforcement believed that he had an accomplice in terms of the actual physical abduction of Annie? But law enforcement never was able to make a case on anyone else. Again, they didn't have Nest cameras. Did you find, I find that so fascinating because, again, I wish I knew exactly what proof they had to believe that, but I can just tell you it's very, very rare not to have an accomplice involved to drive the car while you're stuffing somebody in the trunk. He could, Porch Guy could have done all of this. And I agree with Mac, which he says, let's look at all this, not all of this, but look at the video footage we do have. We have video footage and shows the same guy twice, right? Probably January 11th, without the gun, without the belt, without the backpack, the holster, without the backpack too. So you have that, and it's just lucky that the accomplice was nowhere around. And then when you look at the 2:12 time frame, when you look at that time frame, one person is seen. They specifically say one person. Not two, not three. One was picked up by those cameras up on her roof. So again, that goes to Mac's point. Mac McCollum's point that he was there by himself. He did the site surveys. He did the planning. My only issue with it, and I think it makes sense that it would just be him because nobody's turned him in, right? I mean, he's not coming forward, that's for sure, because he knows he's looking at capital murder case, for sure. Arizona, this is a capital murder case, all written all over it. Premeditated, planned, the embarrassment this whole case is put on law enforcement. And if you don't think some of that goes into these decisions, you can bet they do. I just want to say again, thank you, AJW. Aw, thank you. You are so kind. Thank you. So anyway, I just want to pose these four scenarios. I know I've talked a lot about wrench because for me, the wrench makes sense because of the notes and the fact that law enforcement hasn't been able to make any inroads, which shows me sophistication. I don't believe it's a family member. Could it be somebody again that was a worker that was in the house, knew Savannah, did all this for money and it went south? I think that's a possibility. And then could it have been this retribution angle? But no matter what, I firmly believe kidnapping gone bad, period, end of story. Planned, went in, she passed, and then he was cut and run. No matter no matter whether it's wrench, no matter whether it's an associate or whether it's a retribution situation against like a Savannah. We talked about that a lot. I did a whole show on retribution cases. I probably need to do, I like what I'm doing here, although I did two yesterday, I should have only done one. I like doing just one so we can really dial it up and talk about more of the intricacies. And you can see a lot of similarities here. I said, for me, it's those ransom notes that are throwing me that seem like somebody like this mope would not know that it couldn't be traced. That, in other words, that if it were a sophisticated group that does this in multiple situations, probably somebody that doesn't even live here near, I'm sorry, in this country, that they would know if you sent emails or these notes to a server like this, that it can't be traced because they've done it before. Believe me, I'm deep diving that. I've got all these angles I want to deep dive. I tell you, the Airbnb thing, I think, is so interesting. You know, the case we talked about where the guy's mother, remember yesterday, the guy's mother was taken. And the finger was cut off. I'm sorry, the guy, the cryptocurrency, somebody who had cryptocurrency, their father, excuse me, and the finger was cut off. Or that wasn't yesterday. I think we did that 3 days ago. We've been deep diving all these cases. That's a really interesting case. And that, I tell you, goes on all the time. And then they move on to the next. But there are these little intricacies. I was actually talking to Jackson with TMZ. I don't know if any of you watch him. I really like Jackson. He actually had Dr. Bricado on. He's had me on 3 or 4 times. I really like Jackson. He's kind of like the new upcoming face. And what he likes to really do is look into facts and deep dive with different professionals. And I really like this guy. I think we just have a good rapport with one another. I don't know if it aired or anything, but we talked a lot about the wrench angle. He said for him, it makes the most sense of all the scenarios so far. And again, I think the reason that many of us think that, again, he's seen the notes, right? And so when you talk about that wrench angle, there's a sophistication piece that we're seeing in this case. Now, that doesn't mean the person seeking retribution might not have figured it all out and been sophisticated enough. Our mope. Maybe he watches crime shows all the time. For people putting him down or saying, yeah, I mean, I've been calling him a mope. But listen, the full breadth of the FBI can't find him. Law enforcement can't find him. Nobody's coming forward about him. So even though we make fun of that mask that really didn't cover him that well, his gait, how he got the backpack at Walmart, probably a lot of this costume at Walmart. His gloves are way too big. I think you can't grab that. I think it ended up being harder than he thought. And the foliage is stuck. It's literally stuck in the holder. So he wasn't just waving it to obscure his face like this. It is pressed in there, and you can see it on the sides of the holder. That's why I think he grabbed it. Certainly up for discussion. But anyway, everyone, I know it's late. I saw somebody early on say, I'm trying to stay awake. I am too, you guys. I am literally running on just solid adrenaline. I'm going to have to find a way to get some rest tonight. My clock is all messed up, but had to come on tonight. I think that I like to look at this case how a profiler looks at this case, and that is you take known cases and you analyze them for consistencies with this case and what that perpetrator was like, what that perpetrator's motivation was. Law enforcement has been unlucky. It's dark out. She lived in a no light neighborhood. So was Porch Guy just lucky with that? No. Although I do find this interesting, and this shows a total lack of sophistication. They chose a night with the full moon. I mean, she was there all the time. Why choose that? Why choose a time with the full moon? If that's me, I choose the night with a, you know, waning crescent. So far waning, you know, it's almost gone. That's what I choose. Oh my goodness. Oh, you know what? This is amazing. Thank you so much. I always say that that is so cool. The gifting of those. And I finally understand what that means. I had to have one of the mods explain to me how it works. And thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. I want to let everybody know that with a $3.99 membership or above, and I think ours are so cheap. I think we did $1.99, maybe $3.99 and $4.99. I think that's it. So a middle tier, and that's a month. I have a gift pack, if you will. I don't want to call it a gift pack because it's way more personal than that. It's things that I have from the Bureau. And I'm just going to put a few of them together and send it to you. We're going to have a little drawing. And we've decided to do that. I kept saying August 16th. My mods reminded me, no, it's, I think, August 1st. If there's an arrest in this case, whatever comes first. At first I said I was going to do that as soon as there's an arrest in this case. I gave it 6 months. And so 6 months is the August mark. So we'll be watching that, and then we'll have a blind draw. And I can't wait to just be able to give a little small token of my appreciation for you guys making the channel really great. So thank you again, AJW. And Sharon K. Shipley. Thank you, Sharon. I really appreciate you joining our channel. Thank you. And I still have two scenarios that I'm going to do that I haven't been able to do yet. I have been on the run with my other cases, my real life cases. Unfortunately, that is not going to let up anytime soon. I have a lot of deadlines fast approaching, but I'm going to do those scenarios. So if you wonder what I'm talking about in the Celeste Rivas case, and I don't know if any of you are following that case, but it was a case I followed from second one, minute one, when KTLA posted just this, that a body of a girl was found in the front trunk of a Tesla. And that's all anybody knew. And they were trying to identify her at that point. That was it. So they needed to use the media to try to get her identified. So this was before anybody knew the name David Burke in any association or Celeste Rivas. Nobody knew anything. And then, of course, the shush tattoo. It's confusing, but basically she had a shush tattoo, S-H-H-H-H-H, that also David, she was a minor when they started communicating. She was 11 years old. On social media, in gaming platforms. And then he cultivated her, you know, Hello Kitty was everywhere around him. She loved Hello Kitty. And the next thing you know, they are involved in a sexual relationship, according to prosecutors. And so anyway, we followed that case from the very beginning. And I kept saying she was dismembered. And a lot of people, you don't know that. You don't know that. How can you say that? I say that from experience, because there's no way in a regular trunk, you could put most bodies in a regular trunk, unless you're like 500 pounds, you know, or you have a Mazda Miata trunk. But this front trunk, because I have a Tesla, I knew there was no chance she could be put in there because her size. She was about 110 pounds, 5'1". That's exactly my size. I know she was 70 pounds when she was found because it had been months. that she sat there and decomposed down to nothing, down to 70 pounds. So I did a demonstration. I actually had my husband, it was after church. It was so funny. I said, listen, guys, I need your help. I had them at a weak moment. So I got my son to do the filming because young kids are great at filming. And then we got a huge garbage bag, the biggest one I could find. And he tried to stuff me in the garbage bag, which I wouldn't even fit in the garbage bag. And I wasn't even in rigor, obviously. I was trying to kind of help. I was sort of limp, but I wasn't in rigor. And so he's trying to stuff me in there. He really can't even get me in the bag. So that's another way I knew. And then he tries to pick me up. And he, look, he's not huge, but he 5'11", you know, 170, works out every single day. Like they're, you know, he cannot miss a workout. Not that he's like a macho man or anything like that, but he just likes to work out for his health. He can't even pick me up between the slickness and the dead weight. And, but then, you know, I kind of stand over there and help him put me in the trunk. He puts me in the front. There's no way I fit without being chopped up. So I have two demonstrations I want to do on this case that I think will drive home a couple of points about points I've made on the case before. So I'm going to do those demos because that's what we do. I was thinking of my last missing case. I've talked to you guys about this before, so I don't, you know, want to keep rehashing. But these are the lessons you learn, right, to rehash when they said that this child, only 6 years old, had gotten out through a window. And I said, listen, yeah, that window's unlocked and maybe you could have gotten through there. But look at the, you know, huge fire ant mound below there that's not at all disturbed. You know, this huge fire ant mound. It was probably 18 inches by 3 feet. So, and it was right after, you know, that I was on scene and I'm like, nah, he didn't go through that window. Because I did it. I went, got up, which was very difficult with the height. And the six-year-old was way shorter than me and tried to get up there and then jump down and you hit the fire ant pile. So nevertheless, that's what law enforcement does. You look through scenarios and can it work? So I have a couple I want to do here that I'm going to be doing as soon as I can find the time to do them. So they take a little time. All right. Everyone, thank you again. Every time I say thank you again, I look down at comments and I just love the conversation you guys all have with one another. It's exactly what a channel should be about. Like you guys go back and forth on different issues, on things I've said, on things I haven't even said. You guys have such original thoughts and I just love looking down and seeing that. I love it because that's what a channel should be all about is, you know, not drama and not saying horrible things about people or calling people names when you don't like their opinion. So thank you all. You guys are awesome. 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 Thanks, Jen. Your perspective is enlightening. Do you miss your job? They sure could use someone like you to solve this case. That is so sweet of you. You know, 28 years, I always say this, you could be, if you're a guy, a professional baseball player, I'm trying to think of something that maybe most men maybe fantasized being. You know, I feel like baseball, I would say football, but football is too dangerous and too painful. But baseball, something like that, famous or maybe a famous singer. I think anytime you do something for 28 years and you, and I'm not saying this negatively, but you sacrifice a lot. And I didn't even have a family until way into my career. In fact, I had, let's see, 1988, 2000, whatever, 12 years into my career. So way into my career when I had a family. And so I would say for me, it was time. And they always say you're going to know when it's time. And I had a little 6-year-old at home, and I missed a lot of things with my two older Irish twins. I missed a lot. Too much. And so, you know, for that reason, I don't. And the other thing is, I went straight into expert witness work, and I still teach. Right after that, I started my company, Firearms Beyond International, which it sounds like I'm an arms dealer. I'm not, I assure you. But I do love to teach self-defense, and I love to teach firearms. And that was one of the things, start right away, literally 2016, bam, got my LLC, started that business, and have taught hundreds and hundreds of civilians, and love it. I just had a class about 3 weeks ago. So I'm doing it very sparsely because actually this social media thing, I love it, but it does take a ton of time. That's part of it. But the biggest part was during a case that I covered, all the haters that came, and all of a sudden I've got people that want to kill me. I was used to gangbangers wanting to kill me for putting them in jail. I was used to dealing with that. To have people I don't even know tell a slew of just lies and falsehoods, and then, you know, threatening and stuff. And so now I really only teach word of mouth. So when I say word of mouth, if I don't know you, or somebody, you know, there's somebody who I know that knows you, something like that, I don't want to teach anymore to total strangers. So I'm not doing that anymore. Although I did do this was very early on when I first got into doing tweeting. My account is older. It's like 2017, not because I ever tweeted in my life, but because I was watching my oldest son's football career, because they do all of that on Twitter. And so when he was in the recruitment process before he signed, I wanted to see everything out there about him and everything. So I was like, oh gosh, I got to sign up for this account. And I would just monitor that, but never did a tweet or anything till at the end of the Gabby Petito case, because Brian Inton, he's the one that convinced me, you got to get a Twitter account, Jen. So that's that. Gosh, that's a long answer. Basically, no, because expert witness work, you know, I'm still right in the thick of everything. I just have too many cases right now. And so that's the only reason I don't. It's like if you did something you loved and you're still kind of doing it, but doing it more, a little bit more on your terms, it's pretty fun. And look at this huge opportunity, you know, to try to have a podcast and try to do a YouTube. And then, of course, my intersection with the Next Star News Nation family has been amazing. I mean, the friends that I've met there are just amazing. It's been really a beautiful experience. I mean, they've grown so much now, though. They're huge. I feel like initially, because when it first started was when I first started with them, and it was really just seemed like Marnie Hughes, they barely had any airtime, right? Marnie Hughes, Brian Inton, and I, that's what it seemed like. And then it just, after the Gabby Petito case, which I think really pushed it to a new level, you know, then Chris Cuomo came, that, whew, and then Elizabeth Vargas, whew, and I should not at all miss out on, I'm sorry, Ashley Banfield, crime queen. She was there, sorry, when Marnie was there. Marnie had like the earlier time frame, I think maybe from, I don't know, 5 to 7, and it seems like, and I don't remember exactly that. No, I tell you what, Ashley, I think Ashley had always maybe 10 to 11 Eastern maybe it was 9 to 11 and she had 2 hours, but for sure 10 to 11 and Marnie was before her. But nevertheless, my point is it's blown up and all these great opportunities. So it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. And I know obviously without my career as an FBI agent, I would have never had these possibilities of being able to teach and be able to do the expert witness stuff and to do the media stuff. So I'm just grateful to all of you. Thanks for asking that question. All right, I droned on. All right, everyone. Love y'all. I'll see you soon. Until next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie, the Guthrie family, and for all who are missing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.